Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
But he has said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That is 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our guest today is foster and adoptive mom, Mandy Chapman. Mandy is the regional manager for Care Portal in Northeast Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Mandy.
Hi. A pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show. Let's get right to the beginning on how this all began for you. You and your husband, Doug, have one biological son. And is it four children adopted through foster care?
We have five adopted children, seven altogether. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But one of our older children is not officially adopted, but she is considered our child. So we have seven altogether. Five of them are officially adopted, one biological.
Awesome. And your oldest son, I know we kind of laughed about this yesterday, was your oldest son is 26 and he's adopted, right? And married. And now he and his wife are fostering. And you're also a grandma.
Yes.
Wow.
At 36 years old, I am an official grandmother because that's the way God writes stories.
I guess. Yeah. I'm a little older than 36, but I'm a grandma too. So like that's the best part right there. So
absolutely. I can't wait to go see them in a week, actually.
So we love those grandbabies. But how did this journey begin for you?
Wow, that actually started way back in 2001 when I had every intention to be rich and famous. Never married, never have children, and then God. So that is this is the story of God, because otherwise I would have planned a different outcome. But I'm so thankful that he got a hold of me and let his plans come through me. So in 2001, I had been going to a church, and they had Bible studies, and I was in beauty school then, so I would actually just go and babysit the kids while the adults had Bible study. And there was one little girl there, her name was Maya, and she was adopted from China. And she never went to anyone. She only liked me, and so we just created this little bond. And I remember it was Orphan Sunday. I didn't even know anything about Orphan Sunday until then, but they had highlighted all these different families within the church who had adopted. They talked about the different agencies. They talked about different countries and different routes of foster care and adoption. And it was in that service that I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, "You're going to do that someday." And at that time, I wasn't really walking with the Lord as much as I should have been. And so that was in my mind going, wow, that was a really weird thought. Why would I even think that? And now looking back, you know, Holy Spirit was just prompting me in that moment to really turn my eyes to what he had desired for me in the future. So it was a beautiful story of how it started, but it really didn't start again until I met my husband and we were dating and talking about family and, oh, do you want kids? I do want kids. And we had talked that we only wanted to adopt. We wanted to adopt first before any of our biological children, if that happened. So through our dating experience, we talked in length about adoption and how we wanted to do that. And we always said that we wanted to adopt overseas, and we never did yet, I guess. So that's how that started. And but looking back now, we were overwhelmed by the adoption process. we'd heard so many stories of people adopting through private agencies and how expensive it was, and being a youth pastor and me being a hairdresser, we didn't really have a lot of money to do the private route. So we didn't know really anything about it either. We thought you had to pay up front. There wasn't any fundraising. We had no idea about it. But the Lord really directed our path and connected us with a couple who had adopted and fostered through our local agency. And so we just felt very strongly that that was the route that the Lord wanted us to take. So we became foster parents about 10 years ago through our local child welfare agency.
So, and you went on to adopt several of the children that you had fostered. So what are the ages of your kids right now?
Okay, so our oldest is 26. Then we have a 20-year-old, 11-year-old. He is our biological child. Then we have 2 8-year-olds, a 6-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Wow, so from 5 to 26. I can relate to that, because mine are like 12 to 29. So I know what that's like. And you have a really incredible story about how your older son, the 26-year-old, how he came into your family. Would you share that story with us?
Absolutely. We love to share this story because it's just really incredible. And he loves to share this story also. So we met him when he was 14, going on 15, and his birth mom had just passed away. So he was really in a critical time, and there was a group from our church who had really reached out to him, and he started coming to my husband's youth group, and he just had such a light about him. There was just something about this kid that we were just so drawn to. And just to give you a little brief history of him, yes, his mom had passed away, but she had been a pastor. She had been ordained. So he was raised in a godly home. And even though his older brother was not really taking great care of him, he would do everything he could to get to church. So Mike really went out of his way. There was times where he told me he would borrow his brother's car at 15 and drive to church. And I said, oh my goodness, you can't tell me that. You're breaking the law. So, but you know, what 15-year-old would do anything that they could to get to church? Mm. And so just that in and of itself, there was just something about him that was so different than some of the other kids in our youth group. But really, there was just such a light about him. So we realized that he really wasn't being well cared for, but he was never involved in child welfare. He had lived with his older brother and his wife and their kids. So he had a place to stay, but it really wasn't family. So we started inviting him to Thanksgiving and Christmas and just making sure that he knew he always had a place to go. We would have him over for Sunday dinner, things like that. So he just became part of our family, and as more and more kids came into our home, he was their big brother. So we actually didn't ever pursue adoption with him, because for as long as we knew him through high school and things, he had a place to stay. So we never pursued it. But when we were in our adoption class for one of our other children, they had mentioned a story about a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old brothers that were in the same foster home. And the foster family was getting ready to adopt the 16-year-old. And the 18-year-old said, well, I want to be adopted too. And they said, well, you're an adult. And he said, yeah, but I want to be adopted too. So when they were telling that story, I just thought in my head, I'm like, oh my goodness, we could adopt Mike. I didn't know you can adopt an adult, because by that time he was 19. So we ended up coming home, chatting about it. We took him out to dinner and said, hey, what do you think about this? We want you to pray about it, but if this is weird, we're fine with it. But he, without us even taking a breath, he said, yes, I want you to adopt me.
Mm.
So that was really incredible. And so we have been able to really see adoption through many different sides of the heart of God.
Mm. Yeah.
God pursues us, and we see that through our little ones when they were adopted. They had no choice, but we pursued them. We gave them a home. We gave them an opportunity for a different life. And at some point, all of our children are going to either choose to want to be accepted by us, or they're going to go their own way. I mean, every child, every person has that choice. But through Mike's adoption, that was incredible to see as an adult, he freely gave himself to be part of our family.
Mm.
So when we looked at both sides of adoption, I guess, I mean, both of them, they have now been grafted into our family, but Mike's was 100% his choice. And that was something that was so powerful. And some of the words that the judge said, he turned to our biological son, Isaac, and said, you have the same rights as he does.
Yeah.
You are now an heir just like he is. You have the rights of a son, the inheritance, all of that.
Wow.
So it really took adoption to a different level for us.
Yeah.
And it really opened our eyes to how the Father pursues us, but in turn, we have to make that choice also.
Absolutely.
It's not just his pursuit on us. So it was, his story is absolutely incredible. And, you know, we're very one-sided on it because we didn't live his life, but he had a really difficult time, but he always knew love. And that was really cool. So Mike is incredible and he's passing it on. So we have two grandsons right now. One of them is official, and then he and his wife they've fostered 6 kids so far. So their story is incredible too, but that's just a very brief part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible story, and foster care definitely is, foster care and adoption, near and dear to your heart. You are also the regional manager of Care Portal there in Pennsylvania, and JFO is working here in New York to implement Care Portal. So Mandy, tell us about Care Portal, what it is and how it works.
All right. Well, Care Portal is, in very short terms, it's the connection that allows the church to engage the community to meet needs. So child welfare is always the front lines of working with children and families in crisis. On the other end of that is the church, where we want to, and we are also mandated by God to care for the orphan. And so it's very difficult to connect those two. Many people hear separation of church and state, they can't work together. But Care Portal is a platform. It is a technology-based system that connects child welfare with local churches. Really brief example, child welfare goes into a home, they assess a need. The need could be anything from beds to first month's rent. It could be a dresser or clothes. The needs are endless. But what happens is that family is then said, you need to take care of this issue. Could be beds for the children. It could be making sure that the home is safe, cleaned up, things like that. Now, child welfare creates a system. They say, you within this certain amount of time, this has to be taken care of, or your children could be removed. Now, obviously, there's situations where the children have to be removed immediately for their safety, but oftentimes these items, these physical needs, can be met and the children can stay in the home. So child welfare sees this need, and then it's up to the family to meet that need. And oftentimes, because of poverty, because of environment, it's not an option. They are unable to meet those needs. So what now Care Portal can do is that caseworker can enter this need into Care Portal, and then that request is then sent out to all the participating churches in the area. So now the church is now made aware of a need right there in their community that would help a child and a family in crisis. So now the church, someone within the body, can step up and say, you know what, I have an extra bed. That will keep a family together. Or I can take care of paying that first month's rent. Those are types of things that people say to me all the time. I can't be a foster parent. I don't think I can adopt. But what can I do? So Care Portal is that connection that takes the needs of the community and says, here they are. You can help. You can be a part of foster care. You can be a part of adoption. You can be a part of preventing a family from being broken up. those are really practical ways that people can engage child welfare without necessarily fostering or adopting. So that's a real brief overview of Care Portal.
Mandy, when did you officially launch Care Portal in Pennsylvania?
We launched March 8th, so just this year, just 3 months ago, and it is up and running. We will say that child welfare is so excited about this. They are so desperate for help, and it's been really amazing how receptive they have been and the understanding that unless the community gets involved, a lot of these families, it will continue. The cycle of poverty will continue unless people engage them on a relational level, which ultimately is the goal of Care Portal and the heart of God, is that by meeting these physical needs, we can then connect and build these relationships and really help people come out of the cycle of poverty that they're in, or just the cycle of abuse, neglect, all of those things. It's because of relational connections that people can ultimately change and find Jesus and actually change and change our whole community. That's what the goal is these relational connections are built.
And in 3 months, how many requests have been filled in 3 months with Care Portal?
We have received about 30 requests in 3 months. As far as how many have been filled, there have been 20 of those that have been met, and they have all been through the local church.
Awesome. And how many counties there in Pennsylvania are you in presently?
We are just in one. And the interesting thing is we only have 3 churches right now that are active.
Wow.
So that means that these 3 churches are meeting, they've met 20 of these needs. So that is fantastic. Obviously, the goal is to bring more churches on board. We have several of them getting ready to be up and running and meeting needs. But any church can be a big part of this. We have so many resources, so many connections, because God our Father is so relational, that means usually his body is as well. So we have these different connections. We have these different networks. So the resources that the church has are so endless.
And what kind of requests do you typically see?
Oh, wow. We have had mostly beds, surprisingly enough. That is the number one request that we get. Which is so sad to me to think that so many children are sleeping on floors. It's just sad to me. But yeah, beds are the number one thing that we get requests for. But there are things from camps, kids that are in foster care and the foster parents or the kinship homes can't afford to send the kids to camp. We have had young moms who are just getting their first apartment. They need living room furniture or pots and pans. We've had first month's rent has been requested. So many different things. Cribs, mattresses, just you name it, it's been on there probably.
Wow. So I know it's only been 3 months, Mandy, but can you share a story with us of how God has used Care Portal? Because God is in this.
Yes, I absolutely can. There's so many that I could share with you from the agency side of things, but also the church side of things. But this one really stood out to me, so I'll share this. We had a request for a 13-year-old to go to hockey camp. She had been placed in a kinship home, which means that it was either family or close friends related to her, so in her sphere of influence. That's considered kinship. So she was placed within a kinship home, and they couldn't afford to send her to camp, and they couldn't afford the equipment that would be required. So that was one of the things that came through. We would love for someone to pay for her to go to camp and to pay for her equipment. And within a couple of minutes, I saw that somebody had stepped up from the church that I attend and said, I would love to pay for her to go to camp, and I would love to pay pay for her equipment. And I know the woman, and it was great to see her responding, because I know she has that heart to help. And probably about 2 hours later, she gave me a call, and she said, "Mandy, I got to tell you this. This is fantastic." So she told me the story about how she had been praying every time she received one of the requests from Care Portal. She would pray about it, and she would say, "God, you know, how can I meet this need? How can I meet this need? And if you want me to meet it, please let me know." So she would pray about them, and a lot of them were for baby items or beds. And she's a single woman, never been married. And so she said, "Of course, I don't have baby items." But she said, for some reason, this request came through, and she just knew that she was supposed to meet it. So she contacted the caseworker, got it all set up that she would make the check out to the camp. And then she said, "You know, how would I get these items to the family?" And so she said, "Well, I'll have the dad give you a call, and you can set up the delivery of the actual equipment." So a few minutes after she hung up with the caseworker, the dad called, and it just so happened to be this woman's brother.
Wow.
And the woman who was meeting the need had no idea that that was who she was buying the item for, was actually her brother's nieces and nephews. So it was her brother's wife's niece and nephew that were now in his home, and he was caring for them. And she said, "Mandy, I just got to tell him again how much Jesus loves him, and how much the church is not against him, but they're for him, and that God just had a plan to work the church again to show the love of Christ to this man who had been walking away from the Lord for years." And his sister kept praying for him and kept praying for him. And now, just through Care Portal, again, she gets to tell him, "God loves you. The church loves you. Like, we're trying to help." So it was just one of those situations where nobody could do that but God.
Yeah.
And those are the relational opportunities that we're looking for, that we're able to say, "God did this. God put you on my heart. God had me meet this need, and may I pray with you," for whatever it could be. But this one was so neat, and I was so thankful, because I actually know her brother too, and I knew he had those kids, but I had no idea that she was meeting, it's supposed to be vague, so the safety and security of the family is maintained, but it was so neat to now look at from up above view and say, "Wow, God did that." And it was through these children and their needs that the church is able to step up and actually show the love of Christ.
Yeah, that's just an incredible God story, because here this woman was praying about which need the Lord would have her to meet. And the one that stood out to her, she had no idea that the need she was about to meet was in her brother's own house.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And that she was able to tell him, "God's got you. God has met this need. It was really God." And what a tremendous testimony that impacts not just the children, because the girl did get to go to camp and have that need met, but there was a greater kingdom purpose beyond just camp going on there.
It always is.
Always is. Always is. So thank you for sharing that. That is just incredible. And as we wrap up here, Mandy, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear?
What is on my heart is that we don't need stuff. We don't need more or better. We have so much more to give. And it's always, I believe, in the heart of God to redeem and restore. And what got me involved with Care Portal was my desire to actually destroy the agency that we had worked with for years, because I was so upset with how they had hurt our son, our youngest son, before he was adopted. And the Father is always in the business of restoration and redemption. And so when people say to me, "I can't do what you do," well, then don't. If you're not called to foster and adopt, don't do it. But God has commanded all of us to have a part in it because it's very important to his heart. And so when we understand how much he's done for us and how he has adopted us, it makes us see people differently. And it makes us look at our community not in a condemning, like, how could you do that? How can you live in such filth or in poverty like that? We look at it and say, I am so blessed. What can I do to help? And I believe God's heart is always for us to get more involved, not to have a nicer home or to have a nicer car, which those things are great, but there are so many things. I mean, we lay on a clean bed every night, you know, and there's kids out there who are sleeping on the floor with nothing. So, you know, we think of that stuff, and God is such a God of generosity. So I believe in his heart should be our heart to give back. And so that is really on my heart. Obviously, you know, in James 1, 26 and 27, he talks about what is pure religion, and that's caring for the orphan and the widow. Often in times in scripture, the orphan and the widow are talked about together. And that was because they didn't have a man in the home to care for them. And they were considered, you know, orphaned or widowed because there was no man within the home. And if you look at our society, that's very much what's going on. There may not be orphans as far as father and mother are deceased, but these children do not have a mother and a father. They may be legal orphans where the rights have been terminated, or the father is nowhere to be found, and the single mom is raising her kids with very little support. And as the church, we have such an opportunity to show the love of Jesus by just items and giving a little bit of our time and energy. I think truly that is the heart of the Father.
It is truly the heart of the Father. So, Mandy, thank you so much for all you are doing in Pennsylvania on behalf of children and families in crisis there. And thank you for sharing your story and being on our show today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
And if you would like to learn more about Care Portal in New York, maybe you'd like to get your church involved and help us launch Care Portal here this fall, you can contact me, Sandra Flack, through our website at justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for listening to Orphans No More today. You can find more episodes right on our website. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls them. Be it adoption, foster care, or orphan care ministry, maybe it's through Care Portal. So to learn more, again, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.